Hi, my name is Nariba Shepherd.
And my name is Justin Arnett Graham.
And this is Terms of Service.
And we back.
Bitch, we are back.
We are back. Season 3.
Welcome.
Can you even believe?
Literally on my way here this morning, I was like, this finally makes sense to me. It only took till the beginning of season three for it to hit home that this makes sense now.
God. Yeah. I am just like, I'm a little bit flabbergasted, but I'm also grateful, but I'm also low-key emotional, but I'm also just like...
What the fuck?
No, I'm triumphant.
Oh!
You know, I just like, I feel triumphant. And this entire crew and this community that we have been fortunate to not only be a part of, but like contribute to and provide these spaces to. It's something that I know that there's a lot of things that, you know, I do, we do, but behind the scenes, but it's extremely, extremely important to just be like, you know what? We're doing that shit.
Listen.
And that's fire.
I'm still hung up on the fact that you are flabbergasted by the fact that we are in season 3, because I'm like, everything you touch, 99% of things that you touch turn to gold. So like,
thanks, sis.
Just walking with it.
Thank you.
But
yeah.
How are you, boo?
I'm great. I feel like I had already, you know, kind of mentioned that, because I was just like, I feel fucking triumphant. I'm so happy.
Personally,
listen. So this is gonna be dropping when it drops.
Yep.
And my current reality will not be the reality at that time.
Okay.
So I'm grateful for that. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, I'm evolving. I'm good. I feel good. And I'm just reminiscing through like the time that we had off, and
true,
extremely excited to share with everyone that we actually hung out, y'all.
Yep, yeah, we did.
It was crazy.
We went out into the real world
a couple of times. Yep. Mm-hmm. No pressure, no like
cash,
you know, super
just
cash,
just actually hanging. Well, except for the James Beard stuff.
Yeah, the Media Awards. That was
Pressure.
That was gentle pressure. It was gentle pressure, but also it was absolutely amazing. I mean, met so many people that I just can't like move past. Thomas Lamb specifically. Mm. Oh my God, I love you so much. And then in addition to that, Padma, I cannot say your last name, but you are even more stunning in person. And
the Black Forger.
And Black Forger.
Alexis,
yeah. Yes.
Nicole.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Died on the inside a little bit. Yeah. Word vommed all over her. Yeah. Thanks for being a champ, sis. You were so nice. And it was like refreshing to meet someone who is exactly who they are all the time.
Unapologetically. Yeah.
I still can't actually believe that that happened.
Yeah, it happened.
There's content.
Of what you're about to say, too. Us falling off the spinny camera.
The spinny thing, We had to
take that down from Instagram, because I was like, this was a cute moment, until I kept looking at it. I was like, Nariba looks like she almost got hurt. So
I was here for it. It was real. We survived.
We did. Yeah. We did survive.
That was also the same night that I realized that, like, if I order a tequila soda, it means that the night is over for me. So thank you, all my friends, for now just getting me a soda with lime.
Yes.
I forgot what it was like to go out.
Yeah.
Honestly.
We went out and came to our home studio to just kick it.
That was the first time I'd ever been here when it was like in full swing ever.
It's a whole ass vibe.
Yeah.
I mean,
rocking. Yeah. They did it.
Yeah, people were Jukin, where we're literally about to have this amazing conversation. So it's nice. So we're going to pay an amazing homage to that.
Yes.
Via acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not... because I'm not joking, so that's
fair.
That's not happening.
And then the follow up with Max.
Yep.
When we went to Virtue for the Johnny Walker dinner.
Yes. Yes.
That was a time. They separated us though.
Yeah.
But I felt classy being at a place where they used like seating cards.
Oh yeah.
What is it called?
Place cards.
Place cards.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, I am fancy. This is I've arrived.
Right.
But
and it was just
beautiful.
Great to it was great to be out as a unit.
Yep.
But like still us.
Yeah.
It was
and fun. Meeting the Kimchi boys.
Oh, absolutely. Shout out to them. Thomas, I'll be in touch soon.
Yes.
We've already been talking. It's fine.
I figured.
Yeah.
You ABCN.
Always be connecting. Correct. Absolutely.
But let's get back to what we are here for.
And what we are here for is to continue to provide equitable spaces to tilt the microphone to the community of hospitality, not just those at the fucking top.
Exactly.
And
with that being said,
I am so blown away and grateful that we have...
All the way from Canada.
All the way from Toronto. Put some respect on her name, okay? Would you like
Toronto
to introduce
was
yourself?
Toronto was inside of Canada. I was putting respect on the name. Damn. Came for my... This is like the second time today.
Yeah.
How you're trying to live my life.
I mean, you know, it's just... I'm fiery with that energy.
I know.
Because I'm
you got
so
that
excited.
Energy because we're back.
So, we have the founder of Not 9 to 5 with us.
Yes.
Hassel.
Yes.
Please introduce yourself better than we ever could because we just adore you and we can't believe that you're actually in our physical presence because a Slack channel doesn't translate the same.
Ain't it?
Okay.
You Clubhouse.
Know? Like, Clubhouse was
not
fire.
The same.
That was fire.
Not, it was, but it was not the same.
That is correct. So,
and it's a full circle moment.
Yes. Hello.
It's so full circle. Thank you.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes. Yeah. We're just all staring at each other like, yeah.
I think
is this real?
I have awkwardly stared at both of you today and touched you to be like, is this real? Pinch myself.
No, just like it's real. I'm like, it's real life over here.
Mm-hmm. I also love this like, sibling rivalry kind of energy.
God, you know, it's a Jamaican, Trini.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah. I was like, don't. No.
He I thinks, have two siblings.
She thinks she big.
Yeah. She acting real big over here.
It's okay. I'm baby, it. So it's bad.
Yes. I love it. It's out of love. I can tell.
Technically, Max's baby.
Technically, Max's would be baby.
Okay.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But in the words of Yo, shout out to Yo.
Mm-hmm.
You're baby.
I'm baby.
Hassel, hello
I'm
and welcome
here.
Again.
Yes. Yes, Hassel Avilis from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Oh, can't believe it. And I love Chicago. I've been here once. Sorry, a couple times, but like a decade ago.
Okay.
So
all
this
right.
is a take back trip for me.
Dang.
Oh, a take back trip. Okay, I'm divorced, separated, and I used to come with my ex-husband.
Right.
For work purposes.
Yeah.
And so this trip was important for many reasons. This is a very full circle moment for me, personally
great.
And professionally.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Because, yes, we've known each other professionally only online.
Yeah.
For, I don't know, over a year. Almost.
Wait, was it James Beard last year?
Yeah, that Clubhouse. Yeah.
2020? I honestly, yeah, time's confusing.
I mean, it
confusing.
Was a while ago.
Pandemic has confused
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I don't know what time is anymore.
No, I don't know either.
Yeah, you know, like, just like the pandemic really proved that time is an illusion.
Yeah.
It,
we made
it
that
has.
Shit up.
It has. Right. Also, the pandemic is a trauma. And trauma fucks with your concept of time.
Absolutely.
So that's also, I'm always reminding myself of, it's okay that I'm confused by time. It's a natural reaction to what we've endured.
I'm going to move forward with that in my back pocket the next time my therapist is like, what? And I'm like,
I'm going to go ahead and use that the next time I am late to a meeting.
Okay. Yes. No, wait, hold up. Yes.
Like, I'm
hold up. I got
like,
one
that's
for
exactly
you.
What I'm going to do.
Yes, Jeff.
I'm
going to
be like, excuse me, I'm still
yes
recording from the trauma in which that I have experienced.
Yeah. That's right.
So it was 5 minutes. Carry on.
Literally, my dad like used that. To say all the time when I was a kid, he used to be like, you can't be late twice.
I remember when you said that, like, and I was just like,
up. He was like,
when you said that, I forget the episode that you had mentioned. I was just like, try me. I'll be late countless times. Trust me.
Well, yeah, okay. But in the same instance, you can't be late twice. That's
correct.
Why
if you're late, you're already late.
You're already late.
Right. Yeah.
But I also dated.
But you can always be later. Let's not forget that.
That's a concept that we made up in our heads. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Well,
just like let it ride. Live your life. Right. But before we stray too far away from the fundamentals, what's your sign?
You okay. knew this was coming.
Yes, I did. So, Cancer.
Oh.
Well, we sort of knew that.
I'm here for, yes, we did. Because we talked about that. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Literally our meeting.
Oh, correct. Carry on. Now I remember.
Go See, on. We forget.
We do.
Our memory is affected.
Yes.
Pulling up my coaster.
I was about to say,
remember.
Are you, what's your rising?
Yeah.
What's
your okay, moon? So Libra moon, Virgo rising.
Virgo rising crew.
Yeah.
Presenting as someone who's completely together for the world. You're just like swimming in water, essentially. Just like all your feelings are on the inside and the outside.
Correct.
And Libra moon, slightly messy.
Oh.
I'm here
We're
for
gonna
the
get
messy.
Into that a little
yeah.
later.
Yeah. Great. Libras are like, they don't want to be part of the drama, but they want the drama around them. Like, it's a little bit of drama is a thriving, like, platform for a Libra.
Oh.
Just, and some of my
I'm
favorite people
at the
are
head
Libras.
Now.
I wish that wasn't true.
It's
what it is.
It's
Narita,
what
how do you
gathered.
Do it?
Yeah. I just be watching people mostly and just
she
trying
just
to scope out what the situation is.
Yeah.
But also, as a queer, I spend a lot of time on autostraddle, and they really just reinforce everything that we already know and believe about astrology. My upgrade is now I'm trying to get into like the Chinese zodiac because I think that is like a lot more true to the nature of people.
Okay.
I'm fairly confident that I'm a horse.
Okay.
But I could also be a rabbit. Who knows?
You know.
I'm a monkey.
Okay, well, stay tuned, because I have no idea
we're
what
gonna
the hell
up, we're going to level
so
up.
So there we go. I was like, I
you
do
know,
not.
Gotta look it up.
I was like, I do not know. I could be considered that elephant that went ham in wherever and, like, took out that woman, took out her house, said,
what are you
forget
about?
Your this funeral. Is, are you kidding me right
I don't
now?
Know about this. What
there
year is this from?
An elephant... I believe in India that unfortunately took down a woman and then arrived at her funeral and stomped her casket out and then
elephant brains don't forget.
I mean, these are facts. And then went to her home and
ran
completely
it.
Destroyed it.
Damn. I wonder what
How
she
have
did.
Y'all not heard of it? Okay. So yeah.
Okay, so in the time that we've been gone from recording, Justin has, like, interneted so hard
I have
in his brain. He is a bop or flop bitch, for sure.
All the time.
It's either or. There is no in-between anymore.
There is no middle. There is no middle. And I just have to say that I'm looking forward to things to continue to be a bop. You know, so because,
I mean,
because
if
it flops, I mean, we're, I mean, duh, we're
obviously,
a bop. But the flops, I feel like flop heavy. You know, we're gonna get into this a little bit later, but like, you know, America ain't it, and that is how I'm gonna go ahead and pivot and be like, how the hell is Toronto? How is Canada?
What's the food industry like there?
Yeah, what's Who's going on there? Oh, the.
Okay.
It's we're in a moment.
For me. Yeah.
We're in a moment.
Yep.
The pandemic has...
Canada specifically or just...
I would say Canada, I mean, okay, no, let's be real. It's the whole planet. No one's unaffected,
yeah,
right?
Right.
It was a global trauma, the pandemic, mm-hmm. and our industry was one of the hardest hit. We're also already made up of such a large, like so much of the hospitality population is of marginalized groups. Mm-hmm. And so when you add in a pandemic, financial insecurity, job insecurity, health, you know,
right.
It's so intense.
Absolutely.
We're open again. And I think there's a lot of change. There's a lot of change that we're demanding and needing. Yeah. Like the Great Resignation has been the term that's been thrown around a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in Toronto specifically, so I'll speak for my hometown, I think that... we're in such a moment of we want to make change, but we don't know how to do it. Wow. We're so scared of making more mistakes because we've been called out, right? Well, our industry's been called out.
But also that's really interesting because, you know, the way that you had phrased that is, you know, an unwillingness to, you know, be called out. But here it feels as if, you know, when you speak up and when you speak out, you open yourself up to that of consequence, which is why a lot of people don't.
There's a lot of fear.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's in Toronto, too.
Yeah.
In Canada in general. If you are an outspoken, vocal advocate for change, which I am, you're always going to get the pushback.
Yeah.
But I'm here for that, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm really here for that because I think that
it challenges to prompt a conversation.
Yes, and it needs to be
because
hard.
Because it's always going to get a reaction.
Also,
always.
I think I want to hear from people that are pushing back or are calling us out. So, okay, so specifically what I'm talking about, and this is something that Not 9 to 5 is really kind of struggling. Not struggling. Working
tell us,
through.
Wait, before you go too far into it, tell us about Not 9 to 5.
Yes. Okay.
So that everyone knows where
we're
at.
Yes. Thank you for that.
Yes.
So nonprofit global leader in mental health advocacy for the hospitality and food service sector.
That's right.
Absolutely. So we started as a Toronto, you know, grassroots organization, movement, community, and quickly started making friends in the U.S.,
across the
U.S. You know, we have California, New York, Chicago, et cetera, so many other cities in the U.S., plus now the U.K., have many partners in the U.K., and are recently now branching out into some partnerships in Portugal and even possibly New Zealand.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. New Zealand is where it's at. New Zealand...
oh my gosh.
Is definitely a bop, America flop.
Yes. Yeah.
It's especially like
I fell in love with New Zealand because I saw a bridge that had full greenery.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
so beautiful.
Look at you being a part of your God-given environment.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. I loved it.
So in retrospect, I can't remember if this actually takes place in New Zealand, but there is a Netflix original movie starring Christina Milian where she...
Excuse me?
Yes, she gets a... she, like, buys an inn.
I know what you're talking about.
It's something,
no
inn is obviously
about.
In the name of it, but, like, she has to go all the way to New Zealand, and it's, like... she wants everything to be green and like recycles the gray water and all this stuff and like falls in love with this like surly dude.
On
who,
our season 3 debut, I would have never, ever imagined that Christina Milian would have been brought into it.
Why not?
It's a very
drop
still
it
a
low.
Bop. It's a
drop
guilty pleasure
it,
movie.
Bring it up slow. Resort to love.
Oh,
okay, great. Thank
boom.
You, Max. Actually, I take that back. No, thank you, Max.
Yes. Everyone watch it. It's so bad. When I cannot sleep
bad,
at night, I put it on and I just fall asleep to it.
Yeah.
I can't.
I actively read. Okay, so I will say in the time that we've been off with the. overturning of fucking Roe v. Wade. Yeah. I can tell my anxiety is high because I have read in the last 2 weeks alone 6 romance novels from Johanna Lindsay, R.I.P. She's my favorite romance novelist. But I have been buying, literally paying $8 every 3 days when I finish one to read another one. And that's how I know where my anxiety is. You know what I mean?
Can I also, though, applaud you for your adaptive coping skills?
Oh, thank you so much.
We love some adaptability.
I am a big fan. I'm so glad you're sharing that.
My therapist definitely talks to me frequently about my, like, ability to be so self-aware. And I'm like, thank you so much, Molly, but this is fucked up because I am like, well, why can't I make it better? Mm-hmm. How do I make it better? And like we were talking about earlier, you were like, every little baby step is something that needs to be like applauded. And I'm like,
I know it's hard to feel that. I know, but it truly is where the change starts to form. And that's such a cliche, like cheesy thing to say, but it's true. The magic is in the baby steps. It's not in the huge, massive victories. It's always in the, I did this for the third day in a row.
Yes.
It's that.
Well, because that is what's tangible.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because when you have these grandiose goals, it's very easy to remove yourself from the actual steps that are necessary in order to accomplish said goal. Because, like, that is discipline in and of itself.
Yes.
You know, just to move forward through that.
So, I don't believe in discipline.
Well, Namiba, I disagree with you because you've been doing great, okay?
I was going to say, you're saying that, but you're doing.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah. She still shows up.
I think, okay, so this is another bigger problem that I have is that, like, podcast, for instance, everyone's like, oh my God.
Which podcast?
Our podcast.
Terms of Service?
Terms of Service.
Listening to right now.
Oh my God. How are you plugging the podcast on the podcast?
Yes.
Because you know what? I think that that's going to be our new thing.
Just kidding.
Am I? Go on.
No, you're not. You're not kidding. You're cereal.
Right. I'm going to be walking around with, like, you know, just TOS all over the place, which
I mean,
that is going to be happening because our branding is happening. Our merch is
when
coming,
When I saw
honey.
This, yeah. I was just like, what the hell? We're real life. It's not in a Slack message anymore.
No, it is not
it's
in
like
a Slack channel.
Here.
We are no longer reviewing edits. It is here. Shout out to Brad Vandenberg for such a dope job and just like understanding our point of view, understanding our backgrounds, and also understanding our influence to where this is an organic conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this is our mark within the hospitality narrative. So I just have to go ahead and drop that right there because, and we as a entire crew are forever thankful to him for that.
Giving us this like visual aid to help us along our way. Yeah. But like I was saying, with Terms of Service podcast, people are like, oh, it's like so great. And like, I listen to your podcast and I like, it resonates with me and all this stuff. And in my brain, I'm like, that's awesome. But it feels like it's what I'm supposed to be doing already. Like, it's just like part of the process. Like, it's work and I have to do these things. Yeah. And like, this is how we do it.
Yeah.
And I can't yet feel like the joy about it in a specific way. Cause I'm like, it just lives here. Like, and I know I listen to it on like when they drop on the internet.
Yeah.
And in my brain, I'm like, oh, I'm just like listening to this. But I disassociate the fact that
like
a bunch of other people
and, like,
are
the,
also
and, like,
fucking
the impact
doing this.
That it carries as well. Because, I mean, whether we want to admit it or not, we have been extremely fortunate to be able to create space for community, and whether it's DMs, whether it's, you know, online reviews, whether it's emails, whether it's, you know, people being like when is the website drop, like all of these things, it's like, I mean, it really is like an integral responsibility to show that there is humanity and personality and character behind the conversations that we're having.
True.
And
true.
People don't feel as if it goes into like a vortex, you know, because it can't live that way, and it's not sustainable that way. So it's like anytime that anyone mentions anything when it comes to terms of service, it's because they see themselves a part of it. And our job is to make sure that they are reminded that they've always been a part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have someone that flew from another country.
Literally, though.
Sitting beside you.
We're sitting there and I'm like, no, it's not happening. Not real. I'm actively disassociating in this moment.
I understand. I really appreciate you sharing that. It's a very real thing.
Yeah.
I also have noticed that I don't know if it's society at large or hospitality, but let's say hospitality specific.
Yeah.
We struggle with receiving.
Yes.
And yeah. I myself had an experience a month ago, very similar to what you're describing, where you just get stuck feeling like, why am I doing this? For who? For what? To what end?
And would you both say that's imposter syndrome?
There's a slight...
But is it imposter syndrome through the actions that you have taken repeatedly in order to achieve a goal?
But so what happened was then I went out for dinner on my birthday and I was in this restaurant.
Happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Of course.
But tell them which restaurant.
Oh.
Because I was saw that. Fucking jealous.
Oh, Nariba, I can't wait to go with you one day. If you come to Toronto, we're going.
I mean,
Hi.
You can too.
Okay, my uncle lives in Toronto. I have family in Toronto.
If you all come, we have to go there. It's so beautiful. It's a wooden cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
It was featured in Architectural Digest. It's called Prime Seafood Palace, Maddie Matheson's new restaurant in Toronto.
Yep.
So I went there for my birthday.
I know.
Oh my God. Okay, go on.
I treated myself.
You damn right.
But here's Here's the moment, Nariba, that I want to share with you. I went there with the intentions of treating myself. Like, treat yourself. It's your birthday.
Damn right.
Let's do it.
Parks and Rec style.
They treated me. They held me in a way that felt so awkwardly, physically uncomfortable. Viscerally uncomfortable. Because I also struggle with receiving.
Yeah.
I'm not used to it at all. I'm so disconnected sometimes from the fact that people receive the work I put out. And being in that restaurant, I met half a dozen people that I'd never met before that were just like, you're not 9 to 5. You have an XYZ going in. I'm not going to repeat what they said, but basically acknowledging how much our social media account, our website, our resource list, our connected certification program has done for them, and how much this has helped them, and how it's made an impact in Toronto's hospitality landscape. I literally at one point had to physically walk away, like mid-conversation, because I was getting so overwhelmed emotionally with like, this is actually...
I'm literally trying not to like cry right now, just like watching you talk about this.
And I want to give that to you though. Like, this podcast has meant so much to me. I feel seen and heard by the two of you, three of you, four of you, five of you, however many people are in this room.
The whole crew. Yes.
Every episode, there's new revelations for me. It's like I'm unraveling like an onion, peeling.
Oh my God.
Because I feel seen and heard and held by all of you.
Yeah.
We're alliums, y'all. We got layers.
Facts.
I'm just like literally crying into this cocktail.
Yeah, so. I
see
you.
The
spirit-free offering. But before I get into that, we're going to come right back to what you both were just sharing, because it's extremely, extremely important. This offering is coming from our wonderful friends at Ritual Beverage, of course. Thank you so much for your continued support. And also, a shout out to the Garnet team for concocting this, Refresh City. That's what I'm going to call it, because it's refreshing as hell. Ritual Gin, Honeydew Melon Juice, Guava Kombucha, lime, a little bit of simple syrup, and finished with some crushed ice and a little bit of fresh honeydew, because you know what? We're worth it, and so are y'all.
Honeydew is the...
Honeydew's that girl. Honeydew's that girl.
So I do
I don't
not,
want to hear I've, any honeydew slander over here.
She I'm not, tasty. No. Oh, I was about to be like, cantaloupe is a flop for me. Oh, honeydew cantaloupe. Is a bop for me.
Cantaloupe is still cute though. If you get a cantaloupe in the right moment, it's everything.
No, it literally makes me want to gag.
Wow. Okay.
I have strong feelings about cantaloupe.
We're going to up.
Because it cannot elope. Its way into my
okay,
life.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and unpack that off mic. Okay, anyhow, back to what y'all were talking about earlier.
You mean when we were crying?
Yes, that part. Is there a little bit of salinity in your beverage? A little salt from those tears, Noriva?
I wish.
Oh, no! Oh, I love you so much. I do. So... Damn. I'm really interested.
This is a good-ass drink, Ryan.
It really
yes.
is.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
It
yes,
really it is. Cheers, yes. Ryan.
Cheers, yes. Indeed.
I'm really interested in knowing where that comes from. It's just like, is the idea of what you're putting out there not good enough because we've all been a part of an industry to where our contributions has been absorbed by someone else's ego? Or is it a personal confidence thing? Is it a getting out of your own way thing? What would, you know, I present these questions because, I mean, I have felt the same way, but I've also had to be like, I was like, well, you know, you have to allow yourself to accept flowers yes. when they're presented.
I think it's a weak muscle thing.
Oh.
I think okay. it's something I could strengthen. I think the more that I allow myself to receive in small baby steps, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. then the easier over time it will become.
I get that. I think for me it's like the socialization of being a woman. You're taught to work and toil in silence. And if someone should choose to acknowledge your contribution, you're supposed to be humble. You're not supposed to like share your flowers with right. people type okay, situation. Yeah. So I think a lot of it also for me personally is like in my family, things are expected of you. Like, you right. know, in America, same. When you like just, you get an A and your parents are like, here's $20. In Trinidad, it's like, you did your job. So I think that I have a hard time with the American concept of everyone gets a like gold sticker because they tried. Mm-hmm. And I so like, it's unpacking it, well, that, that shit. Well, that
I hear
it,
that.
That's yeah. how it becomes commodified.
I yeah. think though, is the word unpacking or is the word unlearning?
Unlearning.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because yeah. I actually think we need to consciously remind ourselves that that's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though that's how we were raised. I'm Latin, Chilean. Mm-hmm. My parents very much raised me the same way. It's you don't just like, get these compliments. It's that's why receiving it, like I'm saying, is such a weak muscle because I'm so detached and unfamiliar with it.
Right.
Yeah, same.
And I'm constantly reminding myself that what I learned was wrong. So I need right. to unlearn that and rewrite the narrative for myself.
I keep forgetting right. that one part, that it's wrong.
Yes, right? And I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah.
That
it's like, no, this isn't normal.
Correct. Yeah. Well, it's not about normal. It's just that it's not, it's harmful. It's not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. that's more the language I try to use now. It's like, is this helpful or is this harmful?
Right.
And also, because I have two kids, I think about, is this something I want to pass on or is this something I want to work on?
Right.
To not pass on
that's
because
fair.
Intergenerational trauma is a real is fucking
extremely,
thing.
Extremely real thing.
She's out there. She exists.
Unfortunately.
So one thing that I think it's important to mention because listening to you both as we're just, you know, like kicking off the season, it's a humbling reminder of the disparity of the structure of the industry that we're a part of. You know, it's like, all I want to do is like shout from the rooftops and be like, oh, how fucking amazing everyone is. But then realizing that one, because of whatever reason. Like, I mean, I may be male, but I'm also black and a queer. But it's just
science.
Like, but does it go, like, but does it go further? But then, like, you get frustrated on that, but then you kind of just want to, like, hold those dearest to you, which obviously, you know, you are, to be like, well, you know what? Like, I'll take one for the team, but then that's harmful, not helpful, because then you acquire, you know, that weight and, mm-hmm. and that energy. And we'll be having an upcoming episode that kind of, you know, really dives deep into that.
I don't know.
I always try to be like, there's got to be a silver lining somewhere in the work that we're doing, right? Because we are building our power independently.
A literal physical
exactly.
silver lining
exactly.
is sitting right
exactly.
amongst us today.
Exactly. You know, and aww. Like, and that is worth knowing that not only you have a seat at the table, but like you belong at the table and you're helping extend the table.
Now you know what it's like when I'm sitting here and I'm like, I feel uncomfortable by the acknowledgement of what's happening.
Right.
Lean into the discomfort.
Right. Right.
It's gross.
And she'll like
it's gross,
turn,
but it's helpful.
Like, turn
I'm like,
and be like
physically like
yeah, I won't do it.
My skin.
I won't do it. I won't do it. And so we've started off on a very unique path here. But what I want to do is to take a moment with you, Hassel, and be like, talk to us how you got started
yeah.
in the industry.
Your origin story.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it speaks a lot to everything that we've heard thus far, right? Because you have to start championing for yourself. And you have to see that your value is impactful and it's not dictated by an ecosystem. And you can create an ecosystem and bring in people that are like-minded and extremely impactful.
Tell us your
well.
Secret sauce.
Yeah.
So those are two different questions, though. How, where I started, how I started, and what is my secret sauce are different questions. But I'll try to weave them together.
Yeah. It might be one answer. Who knows?
I mean, what kicked me off into this work, unfortunately, was hitting rock bottom more than once. Mm. I was dangerously close to the edge that no one ever wants to be at more than once. I lost a lot of close friends along the way also, you know, to suicide. All of the work I do with Not 9 to 5 is a love letter to my younger self. It's all the things I wish someone had said to me, shared with me, given to me, provided for me, like taught me. I was so unsupported in my early 20s when I was in like the thick of hospitality, frontline service.
Yeah.
And
I hope the work that we're all doing collectively also echoes that.
I think it yeah. does, which is why I'm saying it. Like yeah. your work resonates with me because yeah. I feel like we're doing it for ourselves and
yeah.
each other.
Yeah. Yes.
And
yeah.
so with Not 9 to 5, it started by sharing my story. It started by being open and unabashed and completely zero shame about talking openly about my, you know, living. So I've lived with depression and anxiety, trauma since I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And I didn't talk about that though openly. I was just suffering in silence as we do in this industry. Mm-hmm. You know, historically we're suffer in silence, repress, suppress your emotional experiences. I was told to check my shit at the door every fucking shift. And yeah. so I finally got to a point because
Check your shit at the door for somebody else, not for you.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. And then you're the one that suffers. So, you know, basically I hit rock bottom. I started a business. It was called the Toronto Underground Market in 2011. And it took off completely, very successfully. We had thousands of people at each event. It was sold out in minutes. It was a big, massive food festival, kind of like Smorgasburg.
Okay.
But in Toronto.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
back then,
fire.
Yes,
yeah,
it was
amazing.
Fire.
Yeah.
Through that, I launched a restaurant brand with my, you know, ex at the time, and I was having I was having such a mental health crisis. And so in building my own business...
If I may ask, like, because we've talked about it in past seasons, like, when people say that they're having a mental health crisis, it's very different for everyone, but I think it's really important to kind of, like, show the... You know,
the frame.
The framework of it. To help paint that picture, because some people may like be in something
and they don't even know.
And they don't know
that that's what they're experiencing.
Yeah.
So
if you're comfortable in sharing.
Yeah, no. I was completely sleep deprived. So this is my first. I've had, unfortunately, more than one. I was completely sleep deprived because my second daughter didn't sleep more than a few hours at a time for over a year. I was so sleep deprived. I was, you know, literally diagnosed with sleep deprivation.
Damn.
And how I knew I was in a mental health crisis is because I knew I'd lived with depression and anxiety. I knew that I was experiencing those things, but I had experienced those things for so long that it wasn't new. What made it different is that I started having suicidal thoughts regularly. So not like a one-off. You know, I want to clarify also, like, for if suicide's a hard topic, you know, I'm going to dive a little deep into it. So if you're not comfortable listening to that,
absolutely,
turn this off or pause the podcast.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us experience suicidal thoughts. I think they're more common than we think. I think talking about suicide is the most important suicide prevention that you could possibly do. It
absolutely
normalizes it. Mm-hmm. It's more common than you think. There's even sometimes you can have thoughts that doesn't mean you're in a mental health crisis. So I want to really make a distinction there.
Yes.
For example, when you're on a cliff or you're waiting for the subway and you have a thought.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that you're in a mental health crisis,
no,
right? There's
like
a name for it. There's a phenomenon.
Right. There's probably a German name for it that's very specific to just that moment.
To that moment, right?
I think about that a lot when I'm waiting for the 147. I'm like, do I want to go to work or do I want to just cross the street and see what happens?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's different.
That's different.
That's different. And so
I've made constant jokes about like how I just want to sleep forever.
Yes.
You know, and also have had, you know, just try to make it funny. But I've unfortunately had two very dear friends of mine pass away due to suicide. One quite recently. And so I was like, I'll fucking swan dive off this fucking rooftop. You know, I was like, oh, Justin's like kidding. And I was like, well, I don't know if I would actually do it, but I said that, so that could be a problem. You know, but it's like, cause you try and like, you know, your mind tries to find ways for connection when it needs assistance.
That's right.
You know, and however you present it, just
it'd be that way.
And you know, I'm gonna wrap up just like this thought process, because to me the idea, the reality of suicide, it hurts my like it hurts every fiber of my being. Because I just hate so much that, like, anyone that would ever feel that alone, that lost, that, like, end of the road, it just, like, just hearing you say that, it just, like, it triggers so many fucking things in my head. But, yeah, so.
I'm going to
take a moment.
Yeah. That's real. Have a moment. Take a moment.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think it's important that you shared that.
Yeah.
You know?
I think a lot of it for me is that, and this is, I want to believe that it's from like school and like learning about how mental health affects us. But when someone is at a place where the only way is out is...
And it's out.
Yeah. Is that it takes... We are like hardwired to not like... hurt ourselves, like to kill ourselves.
Yeah.
And if someone is at a place where that is the only thing, it's like, no matter how much I hurt from like that loss, my thing is like, we are not meant to do that. Right. So, like, if you're able to pull that off, that is a strength in a very specific way. And I'm not saying, like, this is a positive thing, but I'm saying we need to learn a little bit more about why it is we feel so affected from the outside by someone choosing to control their life in that way.
I also think, to clarify, when for me personally, I can't speak for anyone else, but I didn't want to end my life. I just didn't want to feel that way anymore.
Yeah,
right.
I was just in such a dark place and so much pain, but also like not feeling anything at the same time. Right. I was completely emotionally numb. Right. And so for me, as we said earlier, I'm a Cancer. I'm very emotional. Like,
that's so different.
When right. I feel nothing, that's terrifying. Well, and that's dangerous for me.
And it just, like, again, like that hit me so heavy, because both of these individuals were in industries that just didn't support them.
That's right.
And if you don't have access, you don't have education in regards to said access, you don't have any sort of assistance in navigation through resources.
That's right.
It's very difficult to try and formulate your needs to your community of support.
Yeah.
And that is where people start feeling so isolated.
Yes. Yeah.
And it compounds.
That's
itself.
Right.
Yeah.
And then further to your point, not only is your industry not supporting you, it also exploits you.
Yes.
Exactly.
On top of lacking support.
Exactly.
So it's like you're already down.
Yeah.
And then they kick you.
Right.
Repeatedly.
Absolutely.
You know, and for me at the
time. And they call it strength.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that needs to be acknowledged. So I'm really glad that you said that, because it's really important to hold space for that truth.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so in a way, though, if you can figure out how to reach out to anyone, whether it's a crisis text line, whether it's your neighbor, your friend, your family, a stranger, literally anyone, if you can put some words to what you're experiencing to form some form of connection, it saved my life. It can save anyone's life. For me, when I was in that entrepreneurial journey of finally being able to be the boss for the first time, I was thinking about what can I do so that I'm not giving what I received.
Yep. That was the first thing that I did.
Right? And what changed for me was talking about this. I literally would get my team together and openly tell them, I'm living with depression.
Yep.
Right now I'm experiencing depression at this moment. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I am seeking and accepting help. I'm not ashamed of it. I wouldn't be ashamed to tell you I broke my elbow. I wouldn't be ashamed to tell you I have asthma. So why should I be ashamed to tell you I live with depression or anxiety or whatever it is that you experience? And at the time, it was like shocking to a lot of people because no one was talking about that at the time. You have to think, this is 2012.
Yeah.
So this is 10 years ago.
Ooh, and also I feel like a lot of that is cultural.
Yes.
You know, it just like...
I feel like a lot of it is cultural, but the way that the industry is also set up and the way that like just the working environment is, it's like you leave all your shit elsewhere.
Right.
And you just show up and you do your job.
But that's exactly,
and you repress it.
But that's exactly what I'm talking about, because it's just like when you want to talk about like mental health for Black men,
right?
Mental health for Black women. You want to talk about mental health for minorities. Just figure it out. It's like, no, because I think of my family, and I'm not gonna, you know, dive into things there, but you just put your head down and you just like do it. And
just
that's
keep going.
Ingrained within you. And again, like I mentioned, that it compounds itself.
Yes.
When you find yourself in an industry to where it's systemic.
Correct.
And in its compoundness, y'all drag me in the DMs. Go ahead. I was like, I couldn't figure out something else. I was like, it's fine. It's just like, I mean, that's an extremely slippery slope.
It
is. Because that has been your reality for so fucking long.
And Justin, it's the same point that Nariba and I were talking
about.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
And harmful.
Exactly.
And needs to be unlearned.
Oh, because it's not helpful, honey.
It's not.
No.
And, you know, I think it's so uncomfortable, like you were saying earlier, and often quite fucking painful as well. But it's so important to acknowledge that that needs to stop.
Right.
That it, even if your family raised you one way, even if we in our cultures were taught, you know, suffer in silence and it's strong and all this stuff.
Right.
It's really fucking important to do the opposite of what you've been taught.
Absolutely.
Because it really did go against everything I was told and taught.
Yeah.
My family definitely, I love my parents, I love my family, and there was too much silence. And there was no, I didn't have the language to express what I was experiencing.
Right.
And I think that is what led to Not 9to5, because not only was it about, so in the first years of Not 9to5, it was about destigmatizing. It was about breaking the taboo and all of this. Nariba's face on this drink.
I'm sorry, this bell pepper is, you know what? People forget about yellow.
It's true.
I mean, they do forget about
it's
yellow.
It's so beautiful.
I'm like,
but
you're,
did you taste this?
Yeah,
not
I'm just
yet.
Like, no.
Get in there.
So we're going to.
We have to take a break.
Yes.
Let's talk about
it. Also, I was just like, yes. And, you know, it's just like we were getting heavy. We were getting deep. I was emotional. Is this going to be a season 3 vibe of me getting so emotional?
I feel like season 3 is a season of crying.
Normalize it, please.
You know what? Okay. Yeah.
Yes, normalize it.
I'm normalizing it. And you know what?
I'm here for it.
Talking about normalizing, let's go ahead and normalize a spirit-free fucking spritz here, okay?
God.
So, shout out to Ritual Beverage yet again, but Ritual Tequila, yellow bell pepper juice, lemon, simple syrup, soda with a tahini rim, and this yellow pepper garnish. So, Nariba, do you remember back in season 1 when we talked about imposter syndrome glasses?
Yes. Yeah, 110%.
They back.
I saw them out.
They back. These are imposter syndrome glasses, but this looks gorgeous. And
I love this.
I haven't tasted it yet. How is it?
It is refreshing.
If you say delightful,
AF.
I will. Okay.
This is the third time today that Justin has come for me. Just saying. Okay, so bell pepper.
Love you.
I am a little bit of a slut for bell peppers. They just have a place.
She's
that
spicy,
was in English or
like
words.
Nice. It was ooh.
Yellow pepper shoot.
Yeah.
This is so good.
All right, Ryan.
Fuck.
You know, put your... Okay. You
magic.
Know,
put some stank on it.
Absolutely. So, fire. Fire.
I'm also, like, hungry, so this pepper
is dinner.
You're like, I have been waiting for a sufficient garnish for a minute.
You know what
vegetables.
I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, there you go.
I, like, ate a fistful of his blueberry garnish.
Well, but also... Because I feel like we haven't done this in a while.
Mm-hmm.
As they say in the furniture business, Nariba.
Yes.
Chairs.
Chairs.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Don't y'all worry. I'm here for all season 3. So, yeah. Yeah. If you're lucky, I might miss an episode. But only if you're lucky. But that would be...
Why? That's sad.
No.
What?
Because we might have something coming down the pipeline.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. So, you
know. Well, fuck it. Me too. Shit.
Bitch, we going on vacation. Let's go.
Woo, woo.
Okay.
Where are we going? Okay. Go on tour. Oh, wait, we might be going somewhere too.
Yeah.
Yo, this episode, this season is going to be filled with some riot wall.
I'm like, just you wait. Just you wait.
I keep forgetting that we like plan shit.
Yeah.
And this isn't just like a whimsical situation where we just show up and we're like, plants, mics, recording.
Right.
It's
editing.
This is
audio. This is thoughtful, documentation. It's a
well planned and executed.
Y'all are professionals.
Thank you.
This ain't no amateur hour.
Yes, we
yes.
are.
Yes, we are.
Own it. Own it. Take it.
Yep. Take it. Take it.
Something.
It's like you've done this before.
Once or twice. Once
a
or
couple
twice.
Two tree, maybe.
Two tree. So I want to rewind a little bit. So we touched upon mental health, and there are a few additional things that I want to touch upon. But as we have explored in the past, mental health is such a broad topic. How do you kind of, I don't want to say specialize it, but how do you make such a broad topic intentional and something that people should be able to advocate for themselves through the resources that your organization provides and any sort of guidance for people that are like, I just feel off or I just feel different, you know, because your body be knowing.
Yes.
Like your body will tell you. It's like, yes. Oh, as you had mentioned earlier, herself, you know, not sleeping well, you know, you get a baby, like all of these things. But for those people that do not identify with that particular circumstance, how can they be mindful of their mental health and be able to advocate for themselves?
So I would start with the acknowledgement that everyone has mental health.
Yeah.
You know, and I know it's been said on this podcast,
good or bad, it exists for everyone.
Yeah, just like it's just health.
Yeah.
It's just part of health, physical health, mental health. I think that it's important to acknowledge, though, the impact of systemic influences on us.
100%.
I really hate conversations about mental health that are individual. You know, yep. As someone who's studied like the characteristics of white supremacy culture, individualism is one of the most harmful.
Absolutely.
Traits.
Wide-eyed, yeah. Staring down at the ground nod.
Right. Yeah. So slowly, I just want to acknowledge that I'm going to answer the question, but I also want to acknowledge that we still live in a capitalist, misogynistic, racist system, world, society, and industry.
Yes.
And so as much as we can individually, you know, this is... It's just, I want to be very careful when I talk about this. And also, it's the same feelings I have when people bring up self-care. It's the same thing. Yeah, eyes on Nariva right now is how I feel.
I was like, what does that mean?
Exactly.
What
and so, mean?
Who
yes,
is she?
We can talk about how Not 9to5 specifically touches on mental health. And I just wanted to start with that acknowledgement because it doesn't always matter on the individual, what we do for ourselves when we live still in this world or work in this industry where it's normalized to exploit people. We have systems of oppression that impact us and influence how we build businesses and how we're scheduled and all of this. For Not 9to5, the way we address it is that we really try to focus on practical education. Yeah. So that's where we start. Hospitality has neglected workplace mental health for centuries.
Yes.
That's another acknowledgement that needs to be made. Mm-hmm. So we're catching up on a long, long time of not addressing this. So the reason why I like to start with practical education is because I don't actually think we're all on the same page.
No.
With this topic.
Right.
So when I meet certain restaurateurs, certain employees, even myself, we're all on different parts of the journey with certain terms, certain language, certain understandings. You know, when I say tools and skills, that might mean one thing to you and a different thing, you know, Nariba might mean one thing to you, but Justin might mean a totally different thing to
you.
So the way we address it is by starting with, let's get on the same page. So practical education is what we focus on, or have been focusing on more specifically in the last year. Because in the beginning, like I said, when Not 9to5 first started, it was more about like destigmatizing. But in this last year, I realized, well, especially when the pandemic started, you know, it got really scary really fast.
Yeah.
Everyone had to stop and be at home and write. So it's dangerous. There is, and you know, there's a lot that's to be said for if you can't express what you're feeling, if you can't put words to what you're experiencing, it keeps you stuck again.
It took away community in a way that people thought they understood community to be. And the pandemic taught us that community is way different than just physical interaction. Right. You know, but like people need
yes.
that to like be people in a healthy right. way. So it was, I don't know. It had me fucked up in the beginning. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah.
I just didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And like no one really had any answers.
Yeah.
And it was trash garbage.
So
yeah, it was a dumpster fire.
Yeah. It's interesting because like I've said, I was just like, you know, a lot of the time and I try and combat this through, you know, just like different work that I do and, you know, so on and so forth. But specifically on this platform, you know, hospitality, feeling like one of the most inhospitable industries on the planet. But it's such a like unique environment, because what the pandemic showed us is just like how much we care about one another. But once you go back to the status quo, it's, you know, ascension through media ranks, it's ascension through awards and, you know, PR plays and so on and so forth. And it's, I don't think anyone has ever taken a like moment for that visual stock of it.
Yeah.
To where it's like how combative everyone is within the properties of hospitality for ego or whatever fucking reason, how combative they are to their own neighbors.
Yep.
And then how unified everyone is when you can't do anything.
Yeah.
But then when you go back and be like, well, we have to, you know, come back better than ever, it's a marketing term.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, so now we're doing
like pivot.
Exactly.
Yeah,
everyone loves
a
pivot.
Yeah.
Everyone loves a pivot. And I'm sure people are going to listen to this. They're like, oh, fuck it. Like, you know, why are they still talking about the fucking, you know, pandemic? It's just like, because the pandemic has really... Also, I will say this, that look at our evolution here.
I know.
We're calling it
the pandemic
as it fucking is.
Yes. The panini!
Yes, I was just like, you know, I do...
Because we were pressed.
Yes, we were pressed.
Yeah,
we were panini
nice. Like
pressed.
That.
We
like
were panini
that.
Pressed. And I just think that it was such a prime opportunity, but I just see it as a wasted opportunity now. And
well,
I disagree.
Yeah, let's yes. silver lining this bitch.
But I'm talking about like obviously.
Okay.
This platform came of it, you know, all of these things. But when I say that I feel like it's a wasted opportunity, it was a wasted opportunity because people went back to seeing each other as competition versus yeah. community.
Yeah. And that's just the nature of the game. Like,
but why does it have to be the nature of the game?
Because a long time ago, a bunch of white dudes were like, we're going to travel around and we're going to discover things that already exist.
Fish sauce.
And we will
Fish
murder
sauce.
Everyone
Colonialism.
Who says something else.
Right.
And then we will write history for everyone else.
Right.
Our version.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's hard to...
I don't know if I said right or white, but yeah.
Same.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm just, it's we want change to be this thing that is like tangible and here right now, but
and I believe in that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, but this is the thing.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know if this is 100% true, but as a Black woman specifically, change does not happen for us. So when people are like, I want to see change right now, my brain doesn't understand that because that is a privileged notion.
Right.
So the change that we are seeing from like from when the pandemic started to now is vast. And for me, it's like something I never thought would happen.
I would agree with
so
that.
So fast.
Yes.
And I think that it's another thing of socialization, like female bodied people are reared to not expect anything and to appreciate every opportunity that is given to them.
That is correct. Yeah.
And I always reminded the dudes that I worked with that I was like, yo, every moment that I'm here in this kitchen learning all of this shit is great. I'm grateful for it because I wouldn't have had the opportunity otherwise. Like, someone took a chance on me to do this. So I was grateful for everything, even though I was, like, slowly being tortured. In retrospect, it was worth it for me because, like, without going through all of that, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to run my own kitchen in a way that I wanted to see it be done. I wouldn't have met you. Right. I wouldn't have met you, Max.
Yeah.
Like, full circle, overlapping with like people that missed at jobs. And now it's like, we're doing it.
Yeah. And can I add to that too? I think I also never thought I would get to see the amount of change that I've seen in my lifetime. I never thought I got to see this in my lifetime. The amount of change that I've seen, and the reason why I say that is because, for example, just the fact that Not 9 to 5 exists. Like, I run a nonprofit that received over $250,000 federal funding last year.
Go off.
To create mental health training for the hospitality industry. And I got to work with, you know, people
that does
like,
not sound like America. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening in the States, but I can tell
we
you.
We don't either.
Right. But I can tell you that what is happening in the States is the Great Resignation. And the amount of change that that has had on not just the hospitality industry, but the future of work.
Yeah.
Employees have never had this much leverage.
No.
Ever.
Right. Yeah.
In the history of time. Right. And time. So we have to acknowledge that. We have to hold space for that. There's a lot of research and data that unfortunately isn't as mainstream media as TikTok. You know? But I wish it was because
is that a drag to me?
No. No. I'm saying
how much time have you been on TikTok today, Justin?
I've been busy as hell.
Okay. Yeah, you have been. But what I meant by bringing up TikTok is that like I think data and research gets sometimes positioned as like a nerd thing or like a not for me thing. But I wish the data was more mainstream, so, like, more available, so that you can
know where you're going with this. Yeah,
but before I go,
there's so much in the numbers of the amount of change that's happened.
I do not disagree that there has been significant change. I just find a disappointment that there isn't a lot of community with that change, because it seems to be individualized versus like a narrative.
Because we're still not used to communicating with each other about
that.
And to add to that, we also lack the communication skills to hold space for difficult conversations and be vulnerable with each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Still to this day.
Absolutely. And just on the data points specifically, the interesting thing about data is that it is, in my opinion, it's often presented through the most impactful cultural lens, and that leaves people like myself out of it, because it's not, it doesn't shift anything.
Yeah, we, like, we talked about this to a certain extent.
Yeah, we did.
When people, when,
and I'm not saying that
the people
we're
that
removed
are,
from it.
Yeah,
it's just it's never enough response through our communities.
I feel that,
and it's because we don't get to see the action of the change happening.
Right,
because they can ask for all this information all they want, but unless we are seeing it happen, how are we supposed to trust and believe that a change is actually going to happen?
Right,
and I think, especially with like surveys and such, it has a lot to do with the fact that the people that are willing to take surveys already have a sense of seeing their voice make an impact. Mm-hmm. And predominantly when surveys are happening, the majority of people doing them are white people. And that's why things go the way that they do, because it's talking for one demographic.
Totally.
Whereas I am less likely to give any input because I've had the experience of not being heard for so long. And when I am heard, it's because someone else said the exact same thing as me, but it was received differently.
Right.
Because you know? it came through a different mouth.
That's
exactly
true. And you're not wrong. Like, there needs to be more work done with around DEIA or, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion access in clinical research. There does.
Yeah.
I mean, in the way that it's performed, written, what's measured, what's not measured, what language is used, how you connect with certain communities or don't connect with certain communities. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not wrong. This is definitely a very real issue.
Yeah.
And
I have attorneys, and I have literally said that I need to walk around with a white man to repeat what I have said. And, I mean, these are very, very real examples, and they're extremely recent examples, because you're constantly having to validate your narrative, your experience
constantly,
to be even considered a data point.
Yep.
Because it's like, oh, well, it's like, well, of course we're going to have disgruntled individuals. Of course they would feel this way. And it's like, because you're stereotyping a reality.
Yep.
You're like, your data doesn't matter because you've already skewed it.
Right.
I have a literal
and it's invalidated.
Example of this.
That's valid.
Yeah.
That's valid.
That, so I started, I'm now a supervisor in addition to being a beer wench. And my first like day actually supervising was the day we had the tornado warning. Burr, 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 burr.
Oh my god.
It was
and
terrible.
That was the noise.
Yes.
It's like, get the hell up out of this.
And we were talking about one of the guys was talking about Wes Anderson films, and he asked my opinion, and I was like, I don't really fuck with Wes Anderson because he doesn't put people of color in his films.
Because it fucks with his aesthetic.
Okay, which a lot of people know that to be the case, but
they don't want to ever say that out loud. No.
And so,
but they'll love a Wes Anderson film, or they'll love Wes Anderson, and they don't see how that's problematic at all.
No. And his response to me was, well, isn't it good he's not writing about things he doesn't understand?
Okay.
And I was like,
the fuck?
This is my first day managing, and I'm like, I don't want to get fired because I go off on this man. So I was like, well, okay, I'm not saying that he needs to like deep dive into like black and brown culture, but he could literally use people of color in his films.
But
it doesn't even have to be,
but,
like, even in the background of his aesthetic.
But
you know,
I think
like,
the big thing is, it's just like less of a deep dive, but more of an acknowledgement.
Well, that,
because
that's
that.
So
that,
my whole like, thing was like,
that will
sorry
go
to
so
bother
much further.
You exists. And that film is 90% people of color. And it was just as fucking weird as a Wes Anderson film. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
And he was just like, trying to like really get me to see where he was coming from. And I was like, I'm not going to engage in this conversation anymore because I live in a world that exists for you. Like, it was made for white men, and I exist in it, and my reality is different from yours. So I'm not going to like try to get you to understand where I'm coming from because you're trying to like push me to understand where you are coming from. And that's brilliant, we just like, we just didn't carry on the conversation and went about the rest of the shift. And like at this point, the other bartenders are there and he like left to do something. And I remember I looked at one of my coworkers and I was like, remember that time he tried to get me to agree with him? And he was like, poor Joe. He was just like, I wanted to crawl out of my skin. Because he's like another white dude. And he was like, what the fuck just happened?
But that's amazing that you were able to.
Well, that's the thing. I'm so used to it because of working with like mostly just like white dudes in kitchens. I
know, but still you're sharing an example of like protecting your peace.
Yeah.
And also flexing a boundary.
Yeah.
At the same time, which I
come
hear
through flexing a boundary.
Flexing a boundary. Yeah. That's a big fucking deal. Because it's so easy to let them carry you into the battle.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
2016 Beyonce will roll into season 3, bitches. Oh, shit.
I mean, facts. Okay. Yeah. I think that... Love that. And there's a story that I'm not going to get into because it's extremely fucking problematic. But the one thing that I will say, because I'm so appreciative of this tone of conversation, is that we're all standing by our contributive point of views.
Yeah.
And, you know, season 1 was very, you know, we were getting our feet wet, we were like trying to like, you know, figure it out. You know, Max had to yell at us without yelling at us because we would talk way too much and not really let our guests speak. But then with like season 2, it's just like we were finding our footing, and now with season 3, we're looking to dive deep with like those even more important dialogue driven conversations that help prompt response.
Yes.
And action and equity within the industry that we've all like found a connection with.
Yeah. Yeah. We're also role modeling respectful and thoughtful disagreement.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Which doesn't occur in our industry very often.
Yeah.
And well, there's so much silence.
Like, and it's just like, but it's just like, I don't feel like I disagree. It's just like, we're just always like coming at different experiences.
Yes. Yes.
To the same point, and it's extremely important to allow people to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and
fuck yeah.
I will say that, you know, we're coming up on time, but I mean, it's been a roller coaster. Like, I cried.
Yeah.
I figured that same. I would cry on, you know, the season debut, but you know, I was trying to keep it together. I was like, okay.
I made you cry, bitches.
I was just like, Marcus, edit that out.
The only goal that I have for season 3 is for us to actually like make it through one entire like story/example without running off on a tirade. It has not happened yet. I don't even know if we have successfully like went through all of the questions but the conversation. Yeah. The conversations are what I'm here for because you learn more about people the longer they talk.
Yeah.
And that's how I figure out if I like someone or not. Right. Because you're bound to either give me something that I want to come back for, or you're going to put your foot in your mouth and I'm going to smell your shit.
Right. This is fair. So on that,
a great
note,
pissing on the apples.
Piss on the apples. Yeah. We're going to come right back to that. Thank you. Hassel, I have a final question before we wrap and do the things that we know to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The deep side.
What do you envision for the industry in 5, 10, or 20 years? Like, what are you hopeful for? But also, you know, that hope is anchored in reality.
Yeah, I feel like you're gonna love / hate my answer.
Great.
So it actually, it's a callback to part of our conversation today. When we were talking about change, seeing change, not seeing change, what have you, however you feel about that. When you look at how change works, systems of change, this is something I learned in the last couple of years, is there's so much time required for real change. So much time. And nobody wants to hear this, right? Everyone wants change now. Everyone wants to change today. And I am happy with just the fact that we're moving in the right direction. In hospitality, I'm not talking about like Roe v. Wade or anything like that, because that's clearly, obviously, the opposite direction. But
sorry.
With hospitality specific, I do believe we're moving in the right direction.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going to see, and I'm not trying to be like a Debbie Downer here, but like, I don't actually think I'm going to see all the change I want to see in my lifetime.
Yeah.
The way I've structured Not 9 to 5 is it will outlive me. Someone else will take over my role. It will continue past my lifetime. And I actually think the change that I want to see won't happen necessarily in 5 to 10 years. It takes time. Also, part of change almost always includes some form of relapse.
Yeah.
You go back before you spring forward.
Yeah.
It's the worst and also very real. So I think, what do I see for the future? I see, ideally, us still moving in that direction. I see a lot of restaurants, hospitality groups, bars, hotels, etc., trying to do something, which to me is better than doing nothing.
Absolutely.
But no one, having said that, no one is doing it all.
Yeah.
So there's some that are living wage employers now. There's some that are eliminating tipping. There's some that are providing workplace mental health training. There's some that are giving benefits.
Yeah.
There's no one that is doing it all. And on top of that, there's like so much like anti-racism, anti-oppressive communication work that needs to happen for real systemic change. And the last piece is the leadership accountability that I would have thought would have happened by now isn't happening yet.
No.
So,
and that is what I was referencing when I feel like there's not,
it's missing
full community.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
Of change.
Yeah, you're not wrong. It's missing.
You know, it's just like, well, yeah, it sucked for all of us, but like, you know, we're doing better.
And
you
to know, add to that, though, so in change also, like the approach that Not 9 to 5 was built on was top down, bottom up. So I'll leave you with a little hopeful seed, a story that Not 9 to 5 is now getting our programs into, built into the curriculum of educational institutions like hospitality and culinary schools.
Yes.
I hear you on the we don't have our industry leaders holding themselves accountable and not acknowledging the harm that they have caused or are causing in real time.
Mm-hmm.
But I throw back to you, this next generation ain't fucking with the same shit we put up with.
Nope.
Absolutely.
They're being taught things that I learned in my 30s.
Yeah.
And they're 21, you know, or 19. And the fact that there's, you know, colleges in Canada that are now going to have this built in to their curriculum, a hospitality and culinary curriculum.
That's amazing.
It's going to go starting in one. Yeah, well, it's starting in one province. Eventually,
America
isn't
even running. How are they going to catch up?
But I will tell you, in the States, you do have some, not a lot, but you do have some schools trying.
Yes.
And we're coming for them.
Okay.
So
Open arms.
You know, in 5 to 10 years, yeah, I see our curriculum in more educational hospitality schools, because for me, that's the bottom up. I can't get the top down.
No.
And I kind of let that dream die a bit.
Yeah.
So I'm going bottom up. And
I think education, you're right, is the way to go.
I'm betting on the next generation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's happening, Justin.
I know. So
it's going to an end.
I know.
Marcus is going to have a field day if we do not come to an end soon.
I know.
Time to go.
Yeah. So, I will say
we're literally hanging out after this. It's not over for you.
I will say that
I'm dragging you out.
You know, this is the type of evolutionary conversation that Terms of Service is proud to support, and we want our listeners to connect with and also hold us to this level of conversation. And I think that we're fighting a similar fight, right? You know,
same different.
Yes, same different. And this is phenomenal. Like, this has gone so much better than I could have potentially fucking fathomed in my mind for our debut episode.
And you're a full ass planner, so
I mean, you know what? Yeah, it's just like what is it? It's the unicorns and shit. What's that folder? What's the folder with the unicorns, the colorful unicorns? No one
Lisa
knows.
Lisa Frank?
Exactly. I was just like,
you should have said like tie-dye leopard babies.
But you knew what I was talking about.
I mean,
you
I
got
it
what I was
I
talking
gay.
About.
You
but
got
it's fine.
There.
But so on my end, Hassel, thank you. Honestly. Like,
for dragging
and I can't,
your ass over here.
Yeah, and I can't keep looking at you because, like, I want to cry because I'm so grateful for the work that you do.
For inviting us to do that work with you.
Yes, and really inspiring us through your openness, transparency, and your interest in even sitting down with us. So, like, honestly, thank you, because I mean that wholeheartedly, and I know that I speak for the entire crew on that. And in addition, I want to thank our homies at Blind Barber Chicago for not only hosting this necessary conversation, but hosting our first international guest.
Yep.
So thank you, our neighbor to the north.
Oh,
that is again.
Yes.
Yeah. You can find her here at 9:48. No.
Come on tour to Toronto.
Yeah. We would love that. So if y'all like that idea, like,
I'm going to find you a sponsor.
So I was like, there we go. I was just like, oh, we got they coming down the pipeline, honey. I was like, we got them. And then shout out to everyone. You know, shout out to you, Nuiva. Shout out to you, Max. Shout out to you, Ryan. We could not have we don't talk about like fucking secret sauce. One of the things that I am so excited to mention is that a listener became a guest that left a homie that is now a contributor. Our friend Sean Clendenning here for helping us on like audio and making us sound as crispy as fuck wherever you find us. And Ritual Beverage, y'all are just, you already know what it is, and we are so, so grateful for you all. And just again, documentation, you know, like strategy, fucking like, you know, our guests that, you know, we have already reached out to, like, we are thanking you in advance. You know, our merch that will be dropping, our site that will be dropping, like all of these things, it's for the community, and we are so grateful that y'all fuck with us like that. So
yeah.
Nuiva.
What he had said.
That part.
I don't know. Okay. So I'll be for real. I am grateful for a third season. I am grateful for being able to see beyond what I was doing this whole time. And I'm thankful that I'm now in a place that I can like actually see myself outside of the industry. And I feel like that used to make me sad, but now I realize that you can't fix something from the inside if the whole shit is broken, and all you can do is try to make changes that will affect the future. And it's like you said, like, I don't think that we're going to see it in our time, but these kids don't give a fuck. And I took
we're
that
planting
from them.
Seeds.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging out with me today. I know you all gathered here because of me.
Obviously.
obviously.
So, thank you so much for setting this up. This was great.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did very little. I showed up.
You did more than enough. Thank
and
you.
Our new jungle.
Yes. So shout out to your plant daddy for styling us out with a very unique situation here.
I just want everyone to know that we have a mannequin
and y'all
right
will
now.
See it.
Her name
y'all
is Vanessa,
see it. Okay.
And she's a Scorpio.
I wish you could see Vanessa.
Oh, they will see Vanessa. And Hassel, before we, you know, confidently sign off here, where can the people find you?
Not9to5.org is our website. The 9 and the 5 are numbers. At not9to5 _ on Instagram. And yeah, we have all the social channels. You can get to them through our website. And now we've built an educational platform, which is connecting.not9to5.org. And you can create a free account and access all kinds of resources and, you know, learn more about the work we do. Thank you so much for having us. Amazing. You're doing really important
Thank
work.
You.
It's not just a podcast. I hope you,
you
know that.
Thank you. No, I believe
all of
that.
You. Yes. Every single Thank person
you.
In this room.
Thank you. I have to go because like I'm actually crying.
He's crying. I love it.
So I'm Justin Arnett Graham, and you can find me on Instagram at This Is Biko. And Nariba, I need you to run us out of here with all of the energy because I'm so proud and like I am a sobbing fucking mess right now.
I'm glad it's you and not me.
But yes, go take the mic away from me
and
now.
This is your girl, Nariba Shepherd. You can find me at REBARU on the gram. And we out, but we will be back. Love your bitches.
Facts.
You're gonna put your foot in your mouth and I'm gonna smell your shit. Yeah, fucking. I was trying to make it not good.
Friends.